According to a new survey by Intel, the way we use personal computers is changing, and they're more of a vital device than ever. Now, on the line to chat about what Australian PC user trends have come out of this survey is Kate Burley from Intel. G'day, Kate.
Hi there.
Now, Kate, one of the surprising questions from this survey was, if you had a choice between giving up your TV or your laptop for a week, which would it be? Now, I'm going to guess, I'm going to go right out on a limb here and say that TV was the loser, am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, 61% of the people we surveyed said that they'd rather give up their TV set than their computer for a week. So, yep, you hit that one for sure.
And I wonder if they're also thinking they could probably just watch TV on their laptop computer now anyway.
There's definitely people doing that. A lot of laptops being sold are sold with TV tuners,
yeah.
For example. But I think it's more a case of people having essential communications now that are done via their email, and also essential services such as their banking and finance, keeping in touch with friends and family. You know, it's a two-way device. It's a communication device, whereas TV is still, you know, it's a great entertainment device, but a little bit one-dimensional at present.
Passive,
So, yeah, it's harder to give up a laptop. The other thing is that, you know, the survey just sort of illustrated how personal laptops have become. So most people are looking to have, you know, they view their laptop as their own personal laptop. It's not something that they share that much. So for that reason, there's a lot of personal information and contacts and details on that laptop. And I just think Australians aren't prepared to really go without that information being really close to hand for a very long period of time.
Yeah, when it comes to laptop computers, it used to be that these devices were either a luxury item or purely a business tool. How do sales now stack up when it comes to laptops versus desktop machines?
We're seeing actually 80% of retail sales are now laptops versus desktops. Desktops still have a really strong role to play, and you can get, you know, lots of great desktops with, you know, high-performing Intel processors inside. What we notice is people who buy their desktops are what the best possible performance they can get, whereas on the notebook side, people are much more conscious about the mobility, the size, the ease of carrying them around, etc. So they're really looking for that sort of flexibility in the notebook form factor. And, you know, that's why there's such much a higher propensity for notebook sales. Also, desktops tend to be shared. You know, they might be the one central device in the family.
Yeah.
So you're looking at maybe one desktop per family of four, versus increasingly so with notebooks, you're looking at maybe four notebooks for four members of a family. So that's why you're seeing that increased preference in the notebook sales.
And just speaking about desktop versus notebook computers, I've got to say, though, the amount of power that some of the latest notebooks actually have is amazing. I recently bought a new Dell XPS system, and it has one of the Intel i7 processors in it.
Oh, so you got one of those.
And it's now the fastest computer in the house.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, once upon a time, you'd always wait to the second generation before the high-performance processor from Intel would actually land on the notebook.
Yeah.
But last year, as you know, we launched the Core i3, Core i5 and Core i7 at the same time for notebook and desktop. It's the first time we've ever been able to actually launch the equally high performance in the notebook as the desktop. And that's why increasingly so people are saying, well, if I can get the same sort of performance plus the mobility, why not go for notebook?
Absolutely. Now, Kate, you touched on some of the things that that people like to do with their computers, communicating with friends, family, online banking, that sort of things. But the survey also speaks about what people would like to be able to do that they currently can't. What's the discovery there?
Yeah, it was interesting that actually 25% of people volunteered that they'd be happy to take an eye test on their notebook using some sort of internet sort of website, I suppose.
Okay.
Another 28% said they'd happy to do visit the doctor online. And that's becoming more and more a reality as we get better bandwidth. And I think services like the National Broadband Network as well in the future will allow sort of that type of thing to happen more so, as you get true sort of real-life video streaming online with the fatter sort of pipes. Other things that were cited were things like voting, which, you know, I guess could be pretty convenient for a lot of people instead of getting down to their local primary school.
And they've got that overseas in some countries too already.
Yeah, I think with some mixed results. So I was hearing a little bit about some debate on that, in fact, just this week in the news. So it was interesting to get that report back and see there's definitely a desire for people to do it. But it's the how, I think, that's the bigger challenge. And also applying for a passport online, 41% of people said they think that would be great if they could apply for a passport online.
Okay, now, Kate, coming up to Christmas, many will be tempted to send last-minute e-cards instead of traditional Christmas cards. So what did the survey have to say about how acceptable it was to do that?
Yeah, it was kind of mixed. It depended. Younger generation seemed to be more open to sending the e-cards online. I think it was something like 66% of respondents thought it was okay to send e-cards as long as it was to sort of work colleagues, but they didn't think it was acceptable to send it to sort of a close, family member or friend or something like that. They would still opt for more traditional cards than e-cards.
Okay, and it seems that people are becoming relaxed about things like that, and also talking about communicating online. I couldn't believe this. It's now okay to communicate online with somebody who's in the same room as you?
Yeah, I'm definitely the younger generation. 16 to 29, 16 to 29-year-olds thought it was okay to keep in touch with people who are in the same room, maybe communicate with them online. Although it was interesting in the research that a few of them really kind of, when they were prodded a little bit more, said, yeah, it's not really a good look,
No. But
yeah, I'll do it. there's a bit of conflict going on there.
I'm pretty sure that was a joke in the scene of the Charlie Sheen TV show Two and a Half Men, where they had the kid Jake and his girlfriend sitting opposite each other on the couch on two laptops, instant messaging each other.
Oh, actually, I saw that episode, and I've seen my own kids doing it too, I can tell you. So they're younger, they're only 10 and 7, but they do it as well. So, yeah, it's happening.
Okay. Any other practices in there that sort of Aussies are giving the thumbs up to that were maybe considered a little bit unsociable or rude in the past?
I think the one that jumped out at me, and it was only a small percentage of people, but incredible that some people, 9% of people, even thought it was okay to propose marriage online.
Wow.
Which I'm kind of like, gee, I hope that they're people who have international romances or something,
yeah,
and they're not in the same room. But 9%, that was pretty amazing. Also, we saw 49% of those surveyed who really are using that notebook computer rather than a desktop at home. So there is a preference, even if there is a desktop there, that people reach for the notebook. And also, it seems that the younger generation, increasingly so, are running in only notebook households, and they're tending not to have any desktops at all anymore.
Back to the topic of Christmas, for anyone thinking of buying a laptop computer for Christmas, perhaps you have a couple of tips you could share to help the purchase become easier for them?
Oh, yeah, always happy to share some tips. Look, what I'm telling friends and family at the moment is that, there's never been a better time to buy PCs. I've just can't believe what good price points are out in the marketplace at the moment. So if you're looking to get in the market, the timing's definitely right. I would always recommend that if they're kind of a little bit stuck, just remember that Intel has launched processors in the phase of Core i3, Core i5 and Core i7.
Yes.
When you're doing your research, start in the middle at the Intel Core i5, see what's on display from your favourite PC brand, or Apple, because they've got the same Intel processors as well. Have a look at Core i5 and then see whether you want to go up to Core i7 or down to Core i3, depending on your price point. But if you end up with a Core i5, you'll be doing really well, because it really is just an absolutely outstanding product. We also have, Andy, some other information available on the Intel website. And it's got intel.com.au/learningcenter, where people can go in and actually also find out about all of the other feeds and speeds that they should be looking for when buying a new computer. So not just the processor, but see our recommendations on what minimum hard drive they should look for, RAM, graphics, gigahertz, all that sort of stuff as well.
And there's a great process in that Learning Centre that takes you through and helps recommend whether you perhaps should look at an i3, an i5 or an i7 based computer as well.
Yeah, we do a little bit of sort of profiling based on some of the research that we've done, just to, if you're a basic user or how do you use your computer, and you can sort of plug that information in and it will give you a minimum specification. So we're not going to tell you what brand of computer to buy.
Sure.
That's always your decision. But if you want to get a good idea of what the minimum sort of specs are that you should be looking for, it should make sort of that negotiation at store level just that little bit more easier.
As long as it has Intel inside, you'll be pretty happy. happy.
We'll be happy, but I can guarantee the consumers will be too. They're the best suite of products we've ever launched.
Absolutely. All right, Kate Burley from Intel Australia, thanks for the chat, and of course, have a good Christmas.
My pleasure. Thank you.